AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
Welcome to Today's Issues. I'm coming in loud and clear this morning, Brent. I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, this is Tony Vitagliano filling in for Tim Wildman this week. Once again, I am joined in studio by the erudite, Fred Jackson.
Oh, I'm an erudite.
Erudite. That's a compliment. All these are compliments, so don't bother looking them up. They're all compliments, trust me. The unflappable Ed Vitagliano.
Listen, I'm just glad I'm not erudite. Wasn't that one of the tribes that Israel fought in the land of Canaan?
Close.
Erudites?
We brought back Ed because he did such a great job under pressure yesterday, stepping in at with the technical difficulties. We just decided to bring him back. And joining us remotely from the Orange State is the sagacious Dr. Ray Pritchard. Welcome, Ray.
You know, Tony, you called Ed unflappable. I want the world to know I'm very flappable. Whatever that means,
that
I'm
is
very
not,
flappable.
It means like calm, collective, under pressure. I guess it could also be used to describe penguins, right? Unflappable chickens.
I resemble that remark.
You know,
I think you just called your dad a penguin.
Yeah, everything was going well.
You're doing such a good start there.
A penguin and a chicken.
So, welcome, Ray.
Thank you.
Now, Tom. Folks, tomorrow we will not be live. Obviously, we'll all be enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday with our family, but we do have a couple of specials airing over the Today's Issue slot. The first is the In Grace radio special. That'll be the first hour. And then the second one is actually from Dr. Ray Pritchard himself, titled, Can We Still Believe in Romans 8:28? Ray, could you give us just a little bit, just a tease, I guess, about what that special is about?
You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. And when life is going good, that's an easy command to obey. When your prayers are being answered and the good news from the doctor and your kids are doing well and all of that. But, you know, Tony, there's a lot of our listeners who, for various reasons, come to Thanksgiving with some mixed feelings because life has been difficult the last few months. And so I'm just raising the question, what does it mean on Thanksgiving to say that we believe in Romans 8:28? So it will be, in the end, I hope, a great encouragement to say, yeah, here's a hint. The answer is going to be yes, we can believe in Romans 8:28. And we're going to think together through to get to that answer tomorrow.
Can't wait for it. And tell us real quick where we can find more great teachings like this from your ministry.
Just float on over, float on the internet, see over to keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com, there's sermons, there's videos, and that free Advent
That's
ebook.
Right.
It's right there on the front page. Behold the Lamb, Advent from the Gospel of John. We start our journey next Monday. Journey through John all the way to Christmas Day.
Just flap on over there.
Just flap on.
Unless you're unflappable, then you'll have to take another route, another way to travel.
All right. Well, that's the last day of the nice adjective. You'll all miss it when I'm gone. You'll all miss it. You'll be just introduced as Ed,
Fred,
and Ray, and you'll be like, you know what? It was nice while it lasted. So, Fred, I'm sure there are a few stories here and there. Some stuff happening in the news, probably.
Yeah, it used to be quiet during these holiday periods, but not anymore. But let's talk about what's going on out there today. Pardon me. It's, you know, I was talking to our morning anchor this morning, Rusty Pugh, And both of us were, what are we thankful for? We both said we're thankful that we're not traveling.
Yeah. Yep.
Honestly, you know, our transportation secretary, Mr. Duffy, was made an appeal the other day. Folks, try to be civil if you're flying. Try. Please. Of course, he also said that it helps if you dress nice. Like, yeah. Don't wear your pajamas on the airplane.
Right.
And your, what do they call slippers these days? The
house shoes?
Yeah, something like that. So, so the care begins before you leave home on the flying. Kind of don't be, you know, dress properly and think about behaving civilly. I was telling you folks before we went on the air, been watching a video on Fox this morning of some guy who was traveling on an airline. I wasn't sure what airline it was. But anyway, he was sitting next to a kid who just did not stop booting this with his shoes. All you saw was the kid's shoes. And this guy was just sitting there, and he was smiling, and he'd look over every now and then, but nothing was being done. But so traveling by plane,
yeah,
you know, I think you just have to challenge. As somebody said, you know, the airline doesn't make it always easy because they keep the seats getting smaller,
yeah,
you know, and not much knee room. I feel sorry for people over 6 feet. Yep. Traveling economy yeah. these days?
Here.
Yeah. Well, I was mentioning here before the show started, there's an op-ed on the New York Post, and it's by someone, Kirsten Fleming. I'm not familiar with her. But she says, Sean Duffy is right. This is the headline. We are a nation of slobs and need to get out of daytime pajamas. And I've seen, you know, if you ever see old movies from the 40s and 50s, men, for example, wore suits when they went to the movies.
Oh, yes.
I mean, suit and tie yeah. everywhere out in public. Uh-huh. I'm not saying go back to that. I wouldn't want to. I'm in jeans right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But pajamas, that's pretty far down the list.
Oh, yeah. But today, we mentioned yesterday, was the busiest day for flying, over 52,000 flights. Today, they say, is the busiest day for road travel.
Okay, that makes sense.
Over 70 million Americans have packed their bags and are on the road today heading to grandma's place or, you know, your mom and dad's wow. place.
It's going to be hard to get into a
70
Buc-ee's.
Million. Oh, my goodness. Buc-ee's. Can you imagine?
Buc-ee's. Thanksgiving week.
Oh, my goodness.
Buc-ee's.
They need a runway. Yeah. They need a runway just to bring planes of people in.
So it's, but again, as we were saying yesterday, is just everybody, you know, take your cool pill. And just take your time, you know, it's arrive alive, as they say. But it's and complicating matters, especially for folks up in the north. Mm-hmm. They're talking about snow up there. Meteorologist Britta Merwin kind of went through the weather forecast for travel. And if you're living in the north, there are areas up there not too good. Cut number two.
Let's take a snapshot of what's happening today, though. So if you are traveling, if you're not at grandma's house just yet, we do have snow this morning in Minneapolis. That could be a big hiccup because these morning flights are going to struggle with the snow. And although the afternoon weather is improved, we're waking up to issues which can be hard to overcome. Meanwhile, the 95 corridor, we have rain moving through. The snow by far, though, is going to be the big headline. We have the first blizzard warning of the season. That is in effect for parts of northern Wisconsin, the UP of Michigan. We do have winter storm warnings in effect right now for Minneapolis. Eventually Chicago is going to get into this, especially with that second storm that's going to be our hiccup for Friday into this upcoming weekend.
So there you have it. So going back to what I said a moment ago, talking with my anchor Rusty Pugh this morning, we're thankful we're staying home.
Yeah. Well, same here.
And I would say this too, for people who don't live in places like Chicago or Detroit, if you're flying, sometimes you still wind up going there
yeah.
because
yes.
they're cause, major hubs for yep. airlines.
Yes. It'll cause complications if the blizzard rolls through and starts delaying flights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Good encouragement, Fred. Everybody, you know what? just take a breath. Take a deep breath. Those of you who we don't, thankfully, really travel much anymore around Thanksgiving. A lot of our family, as a blessing, is centralized. But those of you, you know, loading up, one, two, three, four, five kids in the car, just remember to take your chill pill and be thankful.
Yeah, and seriously, we have much to be thankful for. And Pastor Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Dallas and well-known here at American Family Radio, he was on Fox this morning saying there's always something to be thankful for. Cut number one.
Well, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul wrote, "In all things, give thanks." The Bible isn't suggesting we should be thankful for everything that happens to us, but the Bible is saying, in spite of what's happening to us, we can find something to be grateful for. You know, maybe some of our viewers today are concerned about the economy, and that's understandable. But if you make $75,000 a year, you are wealthier than 90% of the global population. We can thank God for that. The Bible isn't saying that thanking God regularly will erase all your problems, but what it is saying is gratitude has a way of putting our problems in perspective. And that's why today or tomorrow, Thanksgiving, ought to be not just reserved for one day a year, it ought to be a way of living. Thank God for the good things that He's doing in our lives.
Amen.
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 Got no complaints with that kind of preaching or teaching. We heard from Jeff Shambly, one of our staff members here, also a minister. He gave had our devotions this morning and was teaching that at the foundation of thankfulness is contentment. Mm-hmm. And it's easy when lots of companies and corporations are trying to sell you things and appeal to your desire for things, it is sometimes difficult to be content with what we have. But it is a commandment, and it is a good rule of life that we should be content for the things that we do have. I always try to remind myself, I've been doing this the last several years. This didn't originate with me. Obviously, when I say what it is, people are going to recognize it. It's been around for a while, but I remind myself this is a first world problem, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah,
they don't have the particular brand of pasta I want. Okay, you know, that's a first world problem because I have all kinds of choices. So anyway, this is good instruction and exhortation for us. And while we do remember, we have here at on our staff a lot of people who are battling sickness and disease and tragedy, and we need to also be a blessing to those people and come alongside them.
Yeah, as Christians, the source, and Jeff mentioned this in his Devo, the source of our contentment should flow from Jesus Christ,
right,
who lives within us.
Amen.
So, good encouragements.
I bet you Ray is glad and thankful to be in Florida.
especially hearing about all the blizzards and everything. Yeah, he's not.
I've seen those weather maps.
You know? Not missing.
I was sweeping north. You know,
he just pulls up Kansas City every once in a while, and just laughs.
Just looks and just starts smiling. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
It's gonna be about 80 degrees here today. It's livable.
You can handle that.
All right, Fred, let's press ahead.
Unless we'll press ahead. Hey, listen, hands up. Anybody listening right now who has ordered from Amazon?
You mean ever?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of hands out there in the audience. I can just imagine. Well, maybe you've seen some of the videos of what happens sometimes when that package gets to your door. And we were talking about this in our story meeting. There's a lot of videos out there of people have found a way to put some kind of trap inside the package.
Yeah, I've seen videos where people, porch pirates, will grab something and it blows up on them.
Yes. Well, there's a headline this morning from CBS News. Apparently, the porch pirating is getting more sophisticated.
Yeah.
The headline is this, 14 arrested in Long Island porch pirate ring that allegedly sold stolen goods worldwide, authorities say. Now, I won't read all the story, but just a little bit. The suspects allegedly hacked computer systems. Listen to this, folks. To find out, and they're talking about cell phones here and electronics, to find out when phones and electronics would be delivered to the homes of Verizon and AT&T customers, then sent runners to steal them. The DA said the defendants had customers' names, addresses, device types, and FedEx shipping tracking numbers. So there's a lot to this story. First of all, the hacking is getting very sophisticated, that you can get down to the point where you can find out what the tracking number is on individuals and what's being delivered. And speaking of videos, just watching a video before coming into the studio about this FedEx driver. He's delivering something to a home, and he is accosted on the street by a couple of these thieves. Broad daylight, this is happening. And the advice is that's coming from some of the authorities is, keep an eye on your tracking number, and best to be home when the item arrives at your house.
Well, people don't have a lot of control over that.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The convenience of this is that it comes to your house.
Yeah.
But now they're suggesting maybe you want to stay home until the package gets there.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let my boss know. I'm expecting my delivery of protein powder. I can't miss it. Yeah, they're gonna steal it.
sometime today it's supposed to come.
Look, that's I don't know, between 8 and 5 o'clock is the delivery window. Yeah, it's sad, but the more desperate, the worse things get. I'm not saying that these people are to be. They're not deserving of empathy. Not that the thieves are, but the worse things get, the more people are going to resort to crime, and the more sophisticated they're going to become. Now we should elaborate that the explosives in the packages, it's just color, like just an explosion of color, right?
Powder.
Yeah. So they're no one's porch pirating the Taliban. Remember the Taliban in their house, all right? That's completely different. Although it might fix the issue. I don't know. You know,
I get a kick out of some of these porch pirates in these videos. They get blue or red all over them.
Yeah.
And they come up to the camera, the Ring camera.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm going to sue you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Well, listen, to your point, I will say this. This is, I think, a problem that affects younger people, because I know people who order a lot of stuff on Amazon. My wife and I don't order a whole lot. I like to see a product, and you know, if it's clothing or whatever, touch it, hold it up or whatever. But there are young people who order a lot of stuff from Amazon. They're good at it. Mm-hmm. This is a, you know, 1, 2, 3. It's on its way. For old folks like my wife and I, let me take that back. For old folks like me,
it's already out there.
Still very young
not
wife.
He's definitely not hitting the button there. He's letting that one go.
Right.
We just go on down to the store and get it, and you know, waste who knows how much gas.
Down to the general store.
Down to the general store.
They sell everything there, folks.
Oh, look, it's on flappable egg. Come on in.
Candy, guns, flour. We go to the general store and we get it all.
Oh my goodness!
All right,
but this ring that's been busted there on the East Coast, they had turned it into a business because they were getting these cell phones and electronics and then taking them to a warehouse and then taking pictures of them and then selling them all over the world.
So this wasn't people. We've all seen videos of people riding behind the UPS truck, and when they drop off the package, they jump out.
Yeah.
This wasn't just members of the neighborhood.
No.
Doing this. This is a racket, a ring.
It was fairly sophisticated. Like I said, they were tracking packages, and the moment they were dropped off, they were picking them up, taking them to this warehouse, and then reselling them all over the world. So this was big business. So this is the kind of thing that's going on. And the authorities on the East Coast are saying this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
This is happening on a very grand scale.
Yeah, folks, you got to protect yourselves out there. And it's getting more and more perilous. So just be careful around the, especially around the holidays. We tell our employees too, there are certain precautions you can take to protect yourself. Nothing is ever certain, but there's things you can do.
I'll tell you one thing you can do. You just don't order off Amazon.
That's right.
Just go on down to the general store.
To your local general store.
Oh, Ed. Go down to the general store. Right?
All right.
Well, just to move on, there is a bit of bright light today, it appears, on the Ukraine-Russia front. There's a lot of people talking in very optimistic tones. And this all started back about 10 days ago. You remember the 28-point plan, I think, was the Trump administration released. They thought was a pretty good plan to try to bring this horrible war to an end. Well, there are a lot of meetings going on right now in Geneva. There is an envoy from the Trump administration apparently meeting with the Russians in Moscow. The NATO nations, their heads are meeting on this. Want to hear from national security analyst Rebecca Grant. And she says Team Trump is close to solving the war in Ukraine. Cut number three.
Putin has a taste for war. Witkoff has traveled to Moscow before. But I've got to tell you, this time, thanks to Team Trump, I think peace is on the way for Ukraine. This war needs to end for America's sake, too. It's unleashed geopolitical chaos with China, Russia, North Korea, and it's a humanitarian disaster. Best part of these talks so far, prosperity for Ukraine under a lot of the terms of this deal being negotiated.
Yeah, this is good news. I hope that this moves forward. I am, I'll say it, cautiously optimistic. All right, we've been to this point a few times. It feels like we've had a few of these good reports or promising reports, only for it to be to fall apart and roll back. But this seems like it's headed in the right direction. Ed, it sounds like from the comments I've heard Trump make concerning this new deal and what's required of Zelensky before he'll even meet with him. I believe Trump said that he wants Zelensky to have signed the agreement, Fred, if I'm wrong, before he'll agree to meet with Zelensky at the White House.
At the White House. Yeah.
So with some of this more firm language, do you think that this is actually going to go through, or is this maybe just another... not head fake, but something else that might fall apart. What do you think?
Well, I'm with you. I think I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the fact that we have kind of come to this point on a number of occasions previously, and then President Trump has been burned. Mm-hmm. I think that explains why the president has said he'd be happy to meet with Putin and Zelensky, but only if the deal's been signed, because he does not want to make it appear as if he's, like you said, head faked. And Putin has been, you know, one of the ones who has made it look like he was ready to make a deal. That's and true. Then unleashed another series of more bombings in Kyiv and other places. So I'm, like everybody else, cautiously optimistic. I feel bad for the Ukrainians, and peace is going to come at a pretty big price for them, just like the war has caused a lot of death and destruction. They're probably going to lose a good part of the eastern part of their own country, very important, economically important part in terms of minerals and food production. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to have to surrender that. But I'm not sure what the alternatives are and if the West will come in and help Ukraine recover, they can, hope for the best, I guess.
Yeah, this is. I think there's going to be a few points that they're going to want to renegotiate on, or whatever Ukraine agrees to. Some of the more outrageous demands, I think, will probably be tapered back, like the reduction of the Ukrainian military. Points like the. Promise that they'll never be a member of NATO. I don't know, where those land up, where those points will end up. Maybe they'll agree to it, maybe they won't. But hopefully hopefully we have some form of peace on the horizon, because there's just a lot of people suffering in this. When we come back, we'll have more news, more stories to talk about. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. James White, 44, thought his civilian job at McClellan Air Force Base was a waste of time and money. Doing the opposite of what most folks would have done, Mr. White took pencil and paper in hand and began to write a suggestion for the suggestion box. He told the U.S. government that the abolishment of his position as an inventory management specialist was in the best interest of all concerned. Now, that's something the average fellow wouldn't do. The average fellow would try to hang on as long as possible, but then Mr. White wasn't an average fellow. The suggestion bounced through bureaucratic channels for several months until it finally reached the Air Force Logistics Command at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. And along the way, no doubt caused many an eyebrow to be raised and perhaps caused many a chuckle to boot. At Wright-Patterson, someone appreciated his idea and agreed with him. So in a short time, White's job was scrapped. There was no longer an opening for an inventory management specialist. There's an old law which says that one has to lose himself to find himself. Mr. White's actions were an example of that law being put into practice. He considered the job an unnecessary burden on the taxpayers. He saw a better way of getting the job done, and he was willing to risk his source of livelihood for the betterment of his employer. He'd gotten self out of the way and put a desire to do what was best above himself. All of us could benefit from such an example, for many of us have never lost ourselves. We think of ourselves as the number one player in this game of life, and our thoughts hardly ever go beyond ourselves. We would seldom think there would be a better way of doing what we're doing, and certainly would not suggest it if there were. We might lose what we're doing. One day, years ago now, Carpenter told some friends of his that if they would lose themselves, they could find themselves. In fact, he said, one could never find his true self until he had lost himself. And he went on to say that the person who was continually looking out for old number one would inevitably lose what he did have. The principle is true not only in religion, but in the whole of life. When you're willing to lose, then you're ready to find. And I guess many of us are concerned about James White. We nearly always worry over those who lose themselves in service to others, but we shouldn't. It's true, White lost his job as inventory management specialist, but he got a check for $1,000 for his suggestion and was promoted to supervisor. He lost himself to find himself and a better job. You know, truth is truth in whatever area you find it.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
As it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You can listen to us in your car. If you have a radio station nearby, you can listen to us on afr.net. And you can also listen to us on the AFR app, available on all major app stores. So, multiple ways to listen to us. I'm Tony Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman. In the studio with me is Ed Vitagliano. To my right and to my left is Fred Jackson. And tuning in over Zoom land is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Now, Ray, I found out, I didn't know this, but I was informed that you actually taught in Ukraine for several years. So how long did you teach over there?
We were there twice, in 2016 and 2018. Of course, which means a few years before this awful war mm-hmm. broke out. But even back then, Tony, we were about 10 hours from, or 12 hours from where the fighting has been for the most part over the last couple of years. And everybody knew. I mean, there was a sense of heaviness with the student body and the staff because everybody knew, Tony, this was going to happen, mm-hmm. that Russia was going to move in, that Putin mm-hmm. was going to find an excuse. And even when we were there with those wonderful students, they came from all over the former USSR. Mm-hmm. We taught in Russian, and I taught through a translator. Wonderful. They're some of the bravest and strongest Christian young people I've ever been around. Mm. So, you know, I look at, you know, our discussion just before the break and agree totally with what you and Ed both said. Where's the devil at a moment like this? He's where he always is. He's in the details, right? The devil is down in the details, and we don't know. We haven't, the details of this deal haven't been agreed to yet. But yeah, I think it's obvious Ukraine's going to have to give up some territory in the east to the Russians. That's just probably no other way to do it. Mm-hmm. But I join you in saying, for the sake of my Christian friends, our Christian friends, that the evangelical community in Ukraine is not small.
Right.
It's strong and it's growing. For the sake of our Christian friends over there and for the safety of everybody, we pray that this horrible war will come to an end soon.
Amen. Yeah, I think that's a perspective in the West, in America, you know, with Western media, we don't get a lot of the perspective of actual Ukrainians, actual people who have lived there, or you know, like your perspective from someone who has lived among them. That's just not something we get a lot. We don't get how they feel about it, what they think about the war, what they thought about it beforehand. So it is helpful. I wish we got more of that, because it would maybe help people develop here in the West, develop a proper understanding of what this conflict, first of all, the cost of the conflict, you know, in human life, in financial terms, you know, and then understand the whole picture, rather than it being, you know, we have to defeat Russia at any cost, or, you know, we need to take our hands out of it. Getting a perspective from people who live there and live in that situation would help. It would help me, I know, develop a more whole understanding of what's going
among
on.
Among those students that we taught and among the faculty members there at Word of Life Bible Institute outside Kyiv, every single one of them, without any exception, either has lost someone in their family or their close friend lost in this war. Homes destroyed.
Yeah.
War is awful. You know, we watch it from our side over here, and from the comfort of your living room, you can cheer for one side or the other, but on the ground, it is a horrific event. And I pray to God that this peace, who knows? We shall see, right? I think, Ed, you said it with me, that the president's been burned a couple times, not really his fault, that the Russians have continued to attack and Ukrainians have fought back. We pray this time there'll be peace and it will last.
Well, I just, as one last comment for me anyway, I've mentioned this before, that when the Cold War was ongoing, when the Soviet Union was in existence, and its satellite countries, part of the Warsaw Pact, you had the United States and NATO. I remember reading, this is way back when I was a political science major at Boston College, one of the professors there saying that there was a grimness to the Cold War in West Germany, because they used to say, the United States is certainly willing to go to war against the Soviet Union and fight to the last West German. Mm-hmm. And there is a sense in which the people in the West, in Europe, and some in the United States who want this conflict to continue, have that same perspective. We'll fight the Russians to the last Ukrainian. Over here, we're not sacrificing our sons on the front line, and it's a lot easier to say that when you've got no skin in the game.
Well, the Germans will send weapons, and they've got a lot of advanced weapons, and the Polish folks will too, and from England, a lot of weapons will come in, but you don't see a lot of Western European nations putting boots on the ground in Ukraine for exactly that reason.
And Putin bet on that when he invaded.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
All right, Fred, let's keep on going.
Keep on going. Well, it was learned yesterday that the FBI has opened investigations to all six of those Democrats that made that very controversial video with regards to, I would say, the attempt by those Democrats to undermine the authority of the president. Is that an overstatement?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a video of them saying Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was. Now, they say they qualified it, you know, that our members, our troops do not have to follow illegal orders. But a lot of people are saying, why in the world would you put that out there?
Yeah.
You know, and some of them, they haven't been able to name any illegal orders.
Right.
That's the other thing. So it's, you know.
And they've been asked.
And when asked about it, well, I can't think of any illegal orders.
Right.
Eric Swalwell.
Great guy.
Democrat from California. We're big fans around here.
Yeah.
Swalwell.
Democrat from California. Who, by the way, announced recently he plans to run for governor of that state, taking on maybe Kamala Harris. Who knows? There's a pair for you.
Battle of Titans.
Oh, brother.
Raise
the median IQ when those two are in the room.
Oh, brother.
But Eric Swalwell, anyway, I guess felt he had to get in on this, although he wasn't obviously one of the six Democrats who are all ex-military. Anyway, he was on with Don Lemon in a podcast, and the audio quality here isn't great. But here we go again. He says service members have told him all the time that they will not obey the president. Cut number nine.
And I talk to, you know, service members all the time, and they tell me that I don't appreciate enough, and the public doesn't appreciate enough, that while Congress is not a check on the president anymore, and the judiciary at the Supreme Court is hardly a check, military members have told me we can be a check in full order. And so they're essentially saying we're not going to betray our oath to the Constitution because this guy tells us to.
Yeah. You know, I'm always skeptical by, and even some of these six have said they have military people telling them that they're worried about the president. And there you have Swalwell saying, you know, they're coming to me all the time and saying that they can be a check and a balance. I'm skeptical of the integrity.
Yeah, it sounds a little anecdotal. And listen, I'm just going to say it. Swalwell should probably sit this one out. You don't need any other. He's
why, Tony?
Well, he's had, let's just say,
he had a girlfriend.
Yes, he had a girlfriend who happened to be a Chinese spy. So I would just cool it a little bit on the seditious light talk. You know, if you've already, you know, kind of been exposed as having possible run-ins with bad actors who are not fans of America, I probably wouldn't be out putting myself out there. And Ed, I am also like Fred, a little skeptical of all these friends and people just coming up to them. Politicians have a habit of doing this where I talk to people all the time. You know, Mom Donnie, I'm sure, has, you know, talked to people all the time. I've talked to millionaires and billionaires who are you know, okay with it. You know, just the anecdotal people I've talked to have said that they agree with me in this and they agree with us on this.
Yeah, there's over 1.33 million active duty U.S. Personnel Even more than that, when you include reserves, almost 3 million when you include civilians who work with the military. That's a lot of people. And then when you say, I have members of the military come up to me all the time, well, we're just talking about handfuls out of that number.
Right.
But the point that Swalwell is making, he's trying to make it appear as if the majority of the members of the military, and I'm sure both sides do this kind of thing, okay? However, I would even shrink the number even more by saying, well, I doubt members of the military who think that you, Eric Swalwell, are a traitor to your country, are going to come up and get into this kind of discussion with you. So to me, what this video was doing and what the intent of this video was to prime the pump, was to get members of the military thinking about personally deciding what an unlawful action, an unlawful order was, and then not to obey it. And that's why we said on the show, members of the military who are considering that better remember, Swalwell's not going to prison.
Yes.
If you do that, you are.
Exactly.
And there is a procedure in place within the military if you're dealing with what you perceive to be an unlawful order. So if the roles were reversed, I'm sure Democrats would be screaming bloody 100%. Murder. Saying that the Republicans who released this video, they're wanting the military to perform a coup. That's what they would be saying.
Well, and they're going to turn around with it because the FBI is investigating.
Yes.
Okay, so now what they're going to do, this is what the Democrats will do. They'll turn around and say, see, this is weaponization of the Department of Justice. We're just out here advocating for our military, you know, speaking out. We're just speaking out against the fascist
and dictator
Trump, and now he's sicking his Department of Justice, which I'm laughing just even saying that because we've literally had 4 years of a previous president having the Department of Justice sicked on him. But that's what they're gonna paint it as.
I have a question about this. Behind this, does this all go back to the Venezuela? I mean, is this?
What is the unlawful order?
That's right. Is this have to do with, are we going to overthrow Maduro?
I think this thinking began with Trump's use of the National Guard.
Yeah. Okay.
Going into cities to try to tamp down some of the out of control crime. But to your point, I'm sure it's across the board. Anytime Trump uses the military, he's going to be accused of using them unlawful and issuing unlawful orders. But that's part of the sneakiness of releasing videos like this.
Right.
They can always say, oh man, we didn't tell them to try to perform a coup. Yeah. We were just talking about actual.
I didn't know it was that Epstein.
Yes.
I wasn't talking necessarily about that Epstein. Yeah, Fred.
If I had an opportunity to interview any of these six Democrats, I would like to ask them, you know, back there several years ago when our members of the military were being forced to take an experimental drug or be booted out of the military.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you speak up on behalf of those military people that you say you're so concerned about?
Right.
Yeah.
And if I was a betting man, I would say there was silence amongst those Democrats.
Which was an actual unconstitutional order, a violation of their First Amendment rights.
Yes.
Forcing them to take a vaccine that they didn't want to.
Even for religious exemptions.
Even for religious exemptions.
Some of those military people, for religious exemptions, they said because some of the vaccines might contain portions of babies that were aborted.
Right.
Remember that issue came up as part of this? No, the Democrats weren't listening to that at all.
Absolutely.
But that is part of the way the game is played, and in my opinion, mostly from the left, but I don't think anybody escapes unscathed here. But part of the way the game is played is you color the issue the way you want, and under certain different circumstances, we may actually come across as contradicting ourselves, but it's only because from the left we get cover from the news media. And when you have individuals who are questioned, and sometimes here the last couple of years, or certainly since the 2024 election results, you do see sometimes news members of the news media pressing Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of one recently, but also Nancy Pelosi here not too long ago. Democrats don't know what to do because they're not usually challenged on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I this is the way the game is played, and this is why our founders said the republic depends on an educated electorate.
Mm-hmm.
The people have to understand the issues so that they can see through the pretense when politicians do political things.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. Red?
All right. Put your hand up. Have you ever heard of...
A lot of raising hands.
Wow.
Ray's already... Another
question.
Another question.
All right. How many have heard the phrase that we're headed towards a cashless society?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. How many are concerned about that? A cashless society. Well,
and raised.
The good folks in Ohio are obviously very concerned, too. There's a new bill being proposed in Ohio that would transform the way businesses carry out transactions and offer a lifeline to Americans who still prefer to use cash when shopping. I have noticed lately in various stores, well-known grocery stores, retail stores, etc., that often there are machines that say card only, mm-hmm. card only. Mm-hmm. Well, this bill in Ohio being considered there would require businesses to provide at least one point of sale that accepts cash for transactions under $500. And there is a lot of concern about this. It's part, they say, the Cash Act is part of a growing movement nationwide to guarantee consumers the right to pay in cash as more retailers and institutions shift to cashless operations. In fact, according to Pew Research, 14% of Americans reported using cash for almost all or most of their transactions in 2022, while 41% said they never use cash. So why would it be important? We'll ask the panel here. Why would it be important to maintain the right to use cash?
So I'm a little bit of a hypocrite here because I almost never have cash with me.
Well, that's because you're married and have five kids. That's part of the reason.
That does factor into
the walking poor.
100%. That is a factor. However, I rarely carry it with me, but I never want to give up the ability to be able to use cash if I wanted to or needed to. Cash is when you use cash for a transaction. The government and any parties who would love to track information and data on you, there is next to no information in a cash transaction. I just hand you cash. Even at the store, I hand you cash and I get a can of cranberry sauce. And there's nothing else there to track information on me, where that money came from. You know, it's just a blank transaction. So I think the danger of going towards a cashless society is that all that information and all that data is just it would be an authoritarian government's dream to be able to see where every penny of your paycheck goes, where it went, what it was spent on. That's what I would do if I was wanted to work towards a system like something like what they have in China, a social credit score system. That's one step closer to that, in my opinion. Ed?
No, I absolutely agree. There are obviously advantages to using a debit card or a credit card. In that
convenience.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
You don't have to carry a lot of cash. You're not caught without it. We open the wallet up and I discover that my wife has taken the cash. Oh, whoops.
The grandkids came and cleaned out your drawer of quarters.
Well, they do on a regular basis. Happy to do that. But while there is that convenience, what we're talking about is choice.
Right.
And having the option, there are some places around the community that my wife and I live in where they charge you 3.5% to use a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use cash there. But the basic point of this whole discussion is what you just said, Tony, and that is a cashless society is an instrument of control.
Yeah.
And if we've learned anything, you can't trust the government. Mm-hmm. I don't care who's in charge of it. Because even if you have a Republican like President Trump at the top of the executive branch, the government, quote unquote, is filled,
yeah,
filled with bureaucrats who can cause your life misery. And then when your party is out, then the other party comes in, and then the amount of control increases. And that is abhorrent to me. I don't even like what Canada's done. Fred, you mentioned that they have begun replacing paper bills with coins,
mm-hmm,
which is kind of a novelty, but nobody's going to want to carry 20 coins,
right,
$20, $21 coins in their pocket. They're going to stop using money,
mm-hmm,
altogether,
yeah,
and they're going to go to debit cards, which in my mind is a government scheme, mm-hmm, to increase the amount of control on people. So I don't like it. I love what Ohio's doing. I hope that, yeah, law passes. I hope it spreads in red states, and I hope eventually we amend the Constitution and say you cannot ever get rid of cash as an option.
Ray, Ray, you live in the great free state of Florida. Would you like to see something similar to the law that Ohio is putting into place in Florida?
You know, to the whole question of cash, boys, I'm holding up. When you started talking, I pulled the cash out of my wallet here. I am and counted it. I am dismayed to say I have a grand total of $9. $9.
I'm jealous.
Will that even get a cup of coffee at Starbucks?
Probably not.
Vente? Probably not. I probably need. Certainly not going to go eat lunch with it. And just yesterday, I don't know where I was. I was at some store. It was $5.70. I could cover that with the $9.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
But what did I do? What did I do, Ed?
I pulled out the
plastic because, you know, my pocket's full of change and I put the plastic in there. It's really dumb to do that, but I did it. So having said that, I think, yeah, I'm fine if Florida passes the law. I hope it passes up in Ohio. But I think the real lesson here, and we ought to think about this, is that, you know, people talk about conspiracy, but we're moving toward total control of the world economy,
yeah,
right? We've quoted Revelation 13 many, many times here, right? This is all just leading in that direction. And I would say my application of this is to all of our listeners, in the days to come, we are all going to need portable wealth.
Yeah.
Portable wealth. If you're a gazillionaire, whatever that is, and your money is all digital, somebody flips the switch, you can't get to your gazillion dollars.
Or if the power goes out, so to speak.
Or the power goes out. That's right. That's right. So there's a lot to be said for a cash economy, and we should all try to do better than $9, friends. That's really all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know what? This was really brought home to me back a few years ago when Justin Trudeau was Prime Minister of Canada. You remember the big trucking protest?
Yes. Mm-hmm. During COVID, right?
During COVID.
Yeah.
And the tool that he used to bring that to a stop was, we're going to freeze your bank accounts.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you don't have any cash, folks, you're done, because that's what the government can do to you. It can use its force. And can you imagine if you got $20 in your wallet and all of a sudden the government says, we're freezing your accounts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How far are you going to go with $20?
And that is meant to bend your will.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Well, and cash goes around that. So yeah. People who wanted to support the truckers, if I went and handed them $200 cash, mm-hmm. well, then Trudeau and his authoritarian government would have no idea where it came from or what they were going to do with it. Yeah. And so, yeah, cash is a way to get around that type of control. So hopefully this passes in Ohio and other states follow suit. Maybe we can even get this codified as, you know, being something more permanent. When we come back, we got Steve Jordahl and more news for you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.